Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gresca's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Welcome back, hour number two, and glad to have you on board wherever you are around this ever more besieged and beleaguered planet. One wonders how much longer. You go outside in most places around America, very, very quiet at night. No noises, no night noises, no insects. During the day, not here, no birds to speak of, not like the old days. We used to have it all, and I get these reports from all over the country. Things have changed. It's almost like Mother Nature is holding her breath. Let's let these lunatics get it over with, and I can breathe again. It's crazy out there. And my partner is here, and we're going to do an hour with our special guest, Nurse Ann, with more really riveting information. You there?
I'm here, Jeff. Happy Monday.
Yeah. Happy. Oh, God. How long does it take a week to pass?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not
time
long.
Is so distorted now.
Yeah, it is completely distorted. I don't know. I think it's defined almost differently now by everybody. I think a lot of people are disconnected. It's weird. Speaking of weird, here are a couple of stories. The headlines. I'll just do the headlines and we'll kind of get you to comment. Erica's already seen these. I sent them over to her a little while ago. Boston University creates new COVID strain with an 80% death rate in mice. Now, mice are mammals. We're mammals. Just remember that. And you should already be saying, why? What the hell are they doing? Second story, Boston University researchers combine Omicron Wuhan strains to make deadliest COVID ever. Why? What the hell are they doing? So there you go. And it's almost that old Atlantean parable. If they could figure out how to do it, no matter what it was, if it was bad for the planet, bad for them, it didn't matter, they'd go ahead and do it anyway. And we have the same track record. It doesn't matter. I remember 30 almost years ago, reading a story that explained about how they had invented a bacteria and a mold or a fungus. And each, let's call it a bacteria and a mold, each, if loosened on the planet and turned out of their cages, so to speak, would kill all life on the planet. All life. All plant. All animal. Gone. And that was long ago. And that was announced. So, all right, what are these people up to, young lady?
Well, I'm always suspicious of all of the stories that are floated in the news these days. You know, I mean, this type of research has gone on for many years now, and I'm sure they've come up with all kinds of things in the labs that we don't know about. So why are they announcing this in particular? I know we have some midterm elections coming up. And at the same time, if you recall, this latest booster that they're injecting people with, this super booster, is a combination of the spike proteins from both the original Wuhan strain of the coronavirus and the Omicron. And funnily enough, it's not exactly the same as what they've concocted in this BSL-4 lab at Boston University. But I think if you the average person, the public isn't going to know that. All they're going to hear is Wuhan strain and Omicron strain and a bunch of people getting sick. It must be this lethal chimeric virus that they've come up with. I don't know. I just smell a rat. I smell a rat. I don't know. I think that story is being floated out there with a specific intention.
It's very
interesting. And by the way, they apparently they do have a cure for this. Back in March, there was a study published out of China. they actually do have a fusion inhibitor that will inhibit the influenza virus and both the SARS-CoV-2, Delta, and Omicron variants from becoming infectious in a person. I thought that was the Wuhan strain. It was Delta and Omicron. But anyway, they have these small fusion inhibitors that they could use for these viruses that they create. They're just choosing not to, of course.
It is essentially true. There's nothing off limits to these people.
No.
You take it black. If you want to do it, you just go dark with it. Fund it. The American taxpayers more than happy to give their money. What money? That we have no money. We're $31 trillion in debt. Who do we owe the money to? An unconstitutional, illegal law that was passed by Congress on Christmas Eve, 1913, and here we are, 2022. And this law is still on the books. It's completely unconstitutional. That law gave a group of 10 independently, privately owned banks called in the law the Federal Reserve the unconstitutional right to control our money and loan it to us at interest. There's no national debt. It's unconstitutional. The people loaning us our own money had no right to do it. It's like the IRS.
Yeah.
There's no law on the books to support that from the Constitution. So anyhow, we're living under these false, terrible delusions of law. There are laws, and they're on paper, they're in black and white, but they're utterly illegal and unconstitutional. Just like the walking cadaver in the White House, unelected, illegal, unconstitutional. So I guess what else is new? All right. Anything you want to add to the Boston stories? They are, for the average person, they should alarm. Maybe that's the intent of them. I don't know. But an 80% CFR is through the roof. That's astonishing. And again, we go back to what we've been saying here. We're coming up on almost 2 years with you doing these programs.
Well, and another article, this was out of the Daily Mail in the UK. They had an addendum to the article that you sent me. They mentioned that more than 40 facilities certified as BSL 3 and 4 have either been built or gone into construction since 2020, predominantly across Asia. Russia has set out its proposal for 15 of the maximum security labs, and India is aiming for 18 BSL 3 and 4 labs in total.
I can't remember who wrote it. How does the world end? Not with a bang, but a whimper. And they're playing with things and have been playing with things of a biological nature that for probably half a century are quite capable of ending all life on the planet.
This is going to be the new normal. We are, as Nick Szabo predicted in 1993, living in the era of green goo, where they're, playing with the synthetic biology and creating frankenviruses and other things in the lab and releasing them on an unsuspecting public and then keeping them hostage or debilitated and holding the cure for ransom.
It's
ramping up.
Yeah. And they're getting to the point where it would just take, and you know this better than anyone, somebody has a bad hair day and they're working on these things and they'll go into a lab, and this could have happened 50 years ago, and they'll take a little vial out of the lab, sneak it out, turn it loose, and that's the end of life on the planet. I'm not exaggerating. This potential is there. Somebody gets pissed off, whatever, and decides to end it, and he or she has a pretty good shot at trying to pull that off. The technology is there.
Right now, we have a population that's severely immune compromised because of these injections.
Oh, sitting ducks.
Yeah, no matter what they release at this point, it will take hold.
It will have a very high impact. The flu season is going to be brutal because 80% of America is shot up, and their immune systems are already classifiable as being AIDS. You think about it to one degree or another, and unfortunately, a lot of those degrees are very severe. These people are going to get knocked over by almost anything, and that's their, what is that? That's their plausible deniability. No, he died of cancer. No, he had a heart attack. Whatever. And things we haven't even thought about yet. So, yes, it's going to be a difficult flu season and a tough winter. Okay, let's get moving. These hours go so fast. We could do 2 hours easy. We've got two readers for you, and I'm going to read half the, we're going to split them, and then we're going to bring on our special guest, Nurse Ann, who was the first to make it quite clear that all of the vaxxed that she has seen in her hospital employment, and she's been at this over 30 years, all of them have black blood. The vaxxed people have no more oxygen in their blood to speak of. There's some there, they would be dead, but they're still in the hospital, they're getting blood. She draws blood, and it's black because there's no oxygen. And we'll get into the whole big story about that another time. We're going to lay it out for you. We've got it pretty well figured out. So the first one is, I'll take the first half. I'm an ICU nurse. I just started a new job and have seen a huge increase in transplant patients. Funniest thing, huh? So many people are getting hearts, etc. No one is noticing that more and more people have died. It's weird that they make the recipients take the shots before they can qualify for receiving a heart donation. Also, people are getting hearts in less than a week from going to the hospital and getting on the list. When I was drawing labs the other day, blood, I paid closer attention to the blood and noticed white stuff floating around the lab tube. It seemed like a tiny white clot. Of course, the person had taken the shots. Lastly, drawing labs, blood, has become increasingly more difficult, as you have also heard from Nurse Ann on multiple occasions, because the blood clots the moment it hits the lab tube. I'm constantly having to send new blood because the lab will call up and say, it's clotted or it's questionable. I'm not sure what that means. Questionable. Go ahead.
All right. I've chosen to remain anonymous because some people have decided that all healthcare workers are out to harm people and that no one can be trusted. That's just not true. Be thankful that there are still some of us out here that care about you and your loved ones. The ones who know what's going on are really tired of this and ready to walk away. But if we did, who would be there to try and help people? God bless everyone who has endured this demonic agenda. Let's never let them divide us, and let's continue to pray for one another.
Indeed. Here's the second one. These are both by way of introduction to welcome Nurse Ann back, because she is such a great professional. My husband is an ER nurse. Every single day that he works, he runs across at least one patient suffering, dying, dead from the injection. Some days, it is all of his patients. His stories are way too numerous to recount. He's got hundreds of them, and he's just one ER nurse in one hospital. In June, right after the cocktails or shots, injections, came out and masses were imbibing them, taking them, he noticed a disturbing trend. He thought the cocktail was triggering, quickly, metastasizing cancers. Go ahead.
As in, his patients would have maybe weeks to live. I reported his suspicion to a doctor who was part of a research group. It is now a documented fact that the cocktails do, indeed, trigger terminal cancers, and it is fast. My husband can't even count how many patients he has seen with this at this point. One of his own colleagues got the cocktail, got cancer, and was dead within 2 months. Yesterday, my husband lost a patient suddenly who seemed to be fine. Numerous clots. They worked on him for an hour. Gone. I could go on and on. This is not rare. None of these deaths are. It's disturbingly common. It is criminal on a scale bigger than what we saw in World War II.
Well said on that. It is a world war against humankind. And unfortunately, other animals are going to be taken right down with it. We're already seeing that. And I don't know if they begin to inject dairy cattle here like they are allegedly beginning to do in Australia. Look out, because it'll be in the milk, it'll be in the cheese, it'll be all over the place. Okay, back with us tonight is Anne. She is a wonderful nurse, putting her life on the line to show what she cares about, and that is kindness and decency to people who are in the hospital, who are scared, they're confused, they're dying. Many of them die right on her shift, her own patients. She knows what's going on very well, and yet she still goes back in there every day, or when her shifts run, to try to help these people get a little bit of care. Because there is an increasing awareness that many people think all health care now is suspect and potentially dangerous. And that's true. Anne, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Hello, and how are you both?
Hi, Anne. Good to have you back.
Hi.
We're still here.
Good to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you heard the two little pieces we read about a male nurse and a female nurse and what they're running into, and they reflected exactly what you told us long ago, that the blood is clotting by the time you take it out of somebody. It's that. First of all, what ward or what unit are you in now? Have they moved you to a different unit?
No, my assigned unit is typically, I'm in the surgical intensive care unit, but
yes.
There's nights where I'm actually floated to different units, and just most recently I was actually floated to the cancer unit, and I did actually express a little bit of concern about it, because it's a little unfamiliar to me, because I've not actually worked with cancer patients and oncology, because you have to have a specific certification to administer chemotherapy, and it takes nearly a year for that certification. But they assured me I wouldn't have to give it. And I have my own concerns about giving chemo, too, so it's kind of So it's kind of a difficult decision, but I don't get to choose anyway. But they assured me I would not have to worry about that. So I went up to that unit, and it was an eye-opener. I have to say, the patients are amazing patients. I will say that. The staff were amazing nurses. They were, this is the first time I actually noticed the staff were actually truly compassionate and truly empathetic in working and taking care of their patients. They were fabulous. I would say they were absolutely fabulous.
Nice to hear this. Nice.
Yes. It was really, really great unit to work in. I had five patients, and there's a couple of people that stuck out. There was one case in particular that stuck out, two cases that stuck out for me. One of them was a case from a 71-year-old man who had never been sick at all his entire life. He was an engineer. So engineers, I know, are very analytical type of people to begin with, and they're very overly cautious, and they research like nobody's business. And so to pull one over on an engineer, you're really doing something. So for him to get caught was interesting. But he was married to a school teacher, but he was still working up until he was diagnosed with this illness that he received. So I was told he was diagnosed with MDS. So I was like, what is MDS? So I spoke up front that I wasn't familiar with cancer patients and certainly different types of cancers. So they basically explained it as a myelodysplastic syndrome. So I said, oh, interesting. And it's a form of cancer. So I said, okay, what do I need to do to take care of this patient? So they basically tell me, you don't have to worry about giving chemo. He does receive it. He gets two different types. He gets an IV chemo and he gets oral chemo. And both of them I cannot give because I'm not certified in either. So I said, okay. And then basically it's just a matter of, taking care of his vital signs and if anything odd happens throughout the night to report it, and then to get his blood in the morning. So
how sick is he, Maria? Was he in the middle, the beginning, the end stage? How bad was he?
He's in the beginning, at the beginning stages. So this was the interesting part of it. This is what the nurse who gave me report didn't tell me. So when I always look at patients' charts. After I get report, I look at the patient's charts, and I research. Okay, so what was going on? So I saw nothing really in his history that would have basically should have alerted that this poor man to have got this diagnosis. He only had a history of diabetes and high cholesterol, and at some point in time in his life, he had depression. Well, who doesn't get depression at some point in time in their life? That was it. That was his medical history. So I was like, oh my gosh. So then I started looking more.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I go to see on his chart. And so this is the kicker. He was given the Pfizer vaccine on March of 2021. The next dose was on March of, the first one was on February. The second one was in March of 2021. The third one was in October of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the kicker. He got a booster on 4/11/2022. And then he got the bivalent booster on 9/11/2022. And on 9/22/22, he was given the diagnosis of MDS.
So 11 days after he got the shot.
11 days later.
He was diagnosed.
After it, yeah.
And that's just a month ago. That's 5 weeks ago.
That's 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. So this again is suggestive of, and Eric has talked about the mechanisms, how these cancers are installed in people, triggered in people, and how the people have no natural immunity left to really fight it because the shots have destroyed it. So that man's had five shots, including the bivalent booster, which is, we think,
yes,
utterly evil. And they're all evil, but this is particularly satanic and deadly. Erica, go ahead.
So did you happen to find out, was he having symptoms? Is that why he sought...
What he said was he just was extremely lethargic. He had no energy. He was getting wiped out. He's starting to lose his coloring. And so they started doing the blood work on him. And the blood work revealed it. And then I went in to talk to him because I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And so I was like, okay, so can you tell me how long in the time frame, do you remember, I was trying to get him to think about this, how long from the time that you got, you know, your last vaccine to the time you were diagnosed? And he actually corroborated with what was on his chart. And he didn't put it together. But I'm trying to make him think. I want to hear him to say it out loud so he hears what is happening. So I went and I did a review of this because, I have to acknowledge my ignorance on this particular scenario. I don't know the cancer. I've never worked with oncology patients. But according to the World Health Organization, this particular cancer back in 2008 was very rare. It was only ever seen in 3% of cases in the hospitals at most. And then they decided to write that there's a very small minority of it, even within the classifications. It's broken down into different classifications. And even within that, there's a very small minority of cases where they cannot be classified at all. They don't know what causes this atypical type of cancer that presents with these clinical significance, and they can't figure out why one person got it. Well, I can tell you why that guy got it.
Yeah, right.
If he thinks about it just a little bit, I can tell. And then the sad part of all of this is the prognosis is very poor. Recovery on this one.
9/11 gets the bivalent booster. After that's his fifth shot. On 9/22, he's diagnosed with a cancer that shows up maybe in 3% of all cancers. It's extremely rare. So
extremely rare.
Did the light bulb come on for him?
I think I left him thinking.
Well,
he's starting to think.
Five shots, most people won't think. They're living in a state of denial. They just don't want to go there. My God, have I done that to myself for the last 2 years? Really? I don't blame them. Now the other issue is that were you pulling blood on this man? He's had five shots.
I couldn't get his blood. I was unable to get it. I had to call the oncologist and tell him I wasn't able to get his blood.
You couldn't pull it.
I couldn't get it.
Now, that for all of you listening, that means this man, after five shots over a period of about 2 years, has sludge in his circulatory system. It's not a nice red liquid blood. It's sludge. If Ann cannot do a blood pull on somebody, nobody can. And I don't know how they got it out of him, but this is... How are people...
He ended up having to put a central line in him the following day.
A central pick line, so to speak?
Yeah.
All right, so how is it that the human body is so incredibly tolerant and strong, that it can survive with blood that has virtually no oxygen in it and is loaded with God knows what, and you can't even pull it. It's that bad. It just amazes me that people can continue to live. Yeah, okay.
That's the interesting part. The oncology note said, and these are all the guidelines that us nurses have to look for. So the oncology note says, and you're gonna absolutely cringe when I tell you this one, but it says to check for specific levels, your hemoglobin, if it's below 7, you'd naturally think that would a cancer patient anyway. We're going to transfuse. If the platelets are below 10, if the which is, if your platelets are below 10, you need to be really thinking something seriously wrong. And then if your potassium is 3.5, which could send you into a cardiac arrhythmia, or your magnesium is at the 1.6, but you'll even, this is the thing that you really need to hear, is check for DIC panel once a day. DIC, I talked about DIC last year when I took care of, when COVID first started, when I actually saw it for the first time in many, many years. And the first time I saw it when I was practicing in Michigan, I hadn't seen it for many years after that. Apparently, in the cancer patients, it's almost like it's an everyday affair. Now, so they're checking their fibrinogen levels. They're basically saying if you start seeing that there's if the fibrinogen levels are dropping, then you need to start thinking DIC, and you're doing a workup.
Would you explain DIC for our listeners, Anne, please? DIC, briefly.
All right, so DIC is, it's disseminated intravascular
coagulopathy. Yeah.
And what happens in DIC is, and it's exactly what you might see in if you had a patient with Ebola, you're clotting and you're bleeding at the same time. But DIC is differentiated by the fact that you're bleeding from organs that you shouldn't be bleeding from or clotting. So the problem with all of this is it's also very rare and it's exceptionally difficult to treat.
I would say.
And most people don't survive DIC. And the only way to treat it is with massive blood transfusions.
And that will, in this day and age, as we know, the blood is not screened. And that will give people, let's say he's had 5 shots, give him a couple transfusions, he might as well have had 10.
Yeah.
Think about it. The blood is full of spike proteins, probably mRNA, and other things we've mentioned in the past. I knew one person who went and I said, don't do it. And she went ahead and did it. And 6 weeks later, she was gone. The blood is a death sentence. Now, sorry, Red Cross. Prove me wrong. It's a killer.
Yeah. They're not screening for anything other than, HIV? They've lowered the standards for it, the requisite waiting period.
Yeah. You're allowed to donate blood, a week after you get, I can't remember.
Oh, a couple days, as long as you don't have
days.
Symptoms.
That's right. Symptom-free in a couple days. That's it.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
It's related to any kind of traumatic event like a trauma, neurotrauma, sepsis. That's why we started seeing it in the patients that supposedly were having COVID. We were seeing DIC because it affects them. If you have a virus can trigger it, bacteria can trigger it, a fungus can trigger it, but primarily, it's usually associated with some traumatic event or some long life-threatening event, like sepsis.
Don't get, dear friends, do not elective immediately get a transfusion. If you're unconscious and they have to transfuse you, you've been in a bad car wreck and you're bleeding out, you got no choice. But just keep in mind, it's identical to getting a couple of the bioweapon shots, I would say. Erica, one or two, I don't know. It depends on the dose. It's all mixed together. You don't know what you're getting, and they're not screening. Oh, yeah. But the Red Cross has a big cash flow. Huge. They make lots of money on that donated blood.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. They don't care.
Yep. So what are familiar?
I didn't take care of the patient, but there was a patient that actually had DIC on the floor. I didn't have that patient. We were getting blood products, like, every hour from the blood bank. And we were literally, there was pressure bags on the blood going in, and we had multiple lines on the patient. So, like, he had, like, a line, a central venous cath line, which was it going into his subclavian of his heart. Then he's got more peripheral lines, like regular IV lines in his extremities, and they're all
horrible.
Blood products that are attached. Now, normally you would never do that because you wouldn't want to overload the system, you know, with blood products. Because you send somebody into CHF and a whole lot of other complications. And
so
that itself can bring on DIC is also the massive amount of transfusions.
So
it's a vicious circle. That's why you don't win in DIC.
I got it. All right, so the blood bank is delivering to the hospital routinely. Transfusions are common. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah. They're going to get us one way or the other. Anything you've heard from anybody in the hospital trying to explain away the black blood that clots immediately? Are any of the other staff saying, yep, another vaxxed patient, that's what happens?
Well, there's a lot of nurses who can't get the blood. So some people are better at getting blood than others.
Uh-huh.
And they have found, they feel that they're losing their technique, that their technique is poor. It has nothing to do with their technique. It's extremely difficult to get the blood. And then for some of the young ones starting out, of course, yeah, they don't always know the best practice in trying to find good veins to get the blood collection from. But you need to see the actual physical vein, whereas you need to be able to feel that vein to get those blood. And they're usually pretty deep. But when they're as sick as they are, when you're starting to see things like cancers, the veins are already shot. And the more chemo they're getting and the more radiation they're getting,
can
guarantee it, their veins are shot. So that makes it even... That's why most of the time people with cancer, the cancer diagnosis, you'll see them sent home either with a PICC line or a port in their chest, which really allows for access. Because they already know going in that they're not going to be able to get their blood in the future once they've been shot up with chemo. I don't like chemo. I think even giving chemo is even scary as a nurse personally. No, I'm not an oncology nurse. Other oncology nurses can speak to that better than me, but it does make me very, very nervous.
Are there reports of people, and we see this a lot, diagnosis to death just a couple of weeks, a month? Are you getting more of that now?
Yeah, because I talked to a bunch of the nurses on the floor that night, and once they're diagnosed, they're living within probably a couple of weeks. Now, apparently, this man is a very nice guy. Apparently, the idea for him is after chemo, they're talking about doing a repeat biopsy. And the idea is so that they're going to look at possibly trying to do a transplant for him. Bone marrow transplant.
Yeah, stem cell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I hope he gets to that point, because I don't know anymore.
That's awfully optimistic, I would think. And are they going to require him to get another booster before they do this?
Well, see, you know, that's the thing.
Now, just give him a transfusion. I mean, that'll be good enough. These, you know, Anne, these boosters are really awful from what we're getting now. We're beginning to see more and more stories.
The latest super booster is really...
The bivalent one is definitely making us sicker than ever before. And not that they weren't sick before, but it's definitely bringing them down quicker. It's affecting patients a lot quicker.
All right, get this one, Anne. Erica was listening to the paramedic dispatch frequency in her town again today. And tell them the story. Another Walgreens epic. Yeah.
Yeah. It just happened to be when I was talking to Jeff on the phone, and I had the thing going in the background, and there was a tone, and it was for a Walgreens, a local Walgreens, for a 10-year-old girl that had had a reaction to the COVID shot. And I don't know what the outcome was. Usually, you know, the conclusion is they call back once they've been dispatched and attended to the person, that they announce that they're off to the hospital, but there was no such call. So I don't know how that ended.
Yeah. So I took care of a patient, actually, that where they went down and they were coding them, and they came in, and basically mentally we didn't bring them back. We brought them back otherwise, but that's about that's as good as it got. But another tragic one was it wasn't even a cancer patient. It was this was my own floor, and this was very tragic because apparently he went down. He was found down at home, and he ended up being brought into the hospital. Passed out while he was in his dining room. Ended up going into an arrhythmia. They coded him for 20 minutes en route to the hospital. And so anyway, he's in our unit, and he's basically, he's thrown a clot. He's now had a massive MI on top of everything else. And then it just goes from bad to worse. So he ends up now, blood supply is starting to get cut off to vital organs. And before you knew where he was having problems with his bowel. And then they ended up opening up his gut and finding that he had a necrotic bowel. And that was
another one.
Huge infection.
Huge. We've heard two stories about this recently. Now, a necrotic bowel, for all of you listening, means that your intestinal tract is dying, and it's dead tissue. It's rotting
inside
your inside of your abdomen. You're dying. Your bowel is dead. The skin is dead. It's black. It smells. It's dead. Mm-hmm. It can no longer do its job. This is the second time we've heard this. What about and people like that? It's just a matter of days. They don't have much time, I wouldn't think. But let me ask
here's
this.
Here's the kicker. I was taking care of him that night.
Yeah.
They tell me that, by the way, his mother died today.
Oh, and you're supposed to tell him?
No, the doctors will have to tell him. The family will have to tell him. But in report, I was told this.
Understand. All right. Mentally, emotional, competence. What are you seeing? And I'll include staff, because they're shot up too. We know about vaccidents. We know people are not, they're not with it anymore, a lot of them. They shouldn't be driving. But what kind of things are you seeing in people as far as their attitude, their thought processes, and so forth? Are you noticing any changes?
In the patients on the oncology floor, they were wonderful people. They were really wonderful. They're just going through a personal hell.
Right.
But mentally, they were actually really nice people to work with. The staff, too. I'll say the staff, hands down, were fantastic. The floor that I'm assigned to, the surgical ICU, they're all strung out. Everyone, last one of them, all the staff. The staff are all strung out. And the there's a coldness and a lack of empathy with the staff. It's not the same. It's like, it's so different when you compare it to the oncology unit. And the patients are also getting more and more combative. There's more delirium happening. They're in dementia, but they never had dementia before. Now all of a sudden they have dementia / delirium. I mean, the patients are more angry and acting out, and so there's and then we see a lot of this situation where we have to, if we have extra staff, we have to try and have a nurse's assistant sit with the patients to try and, you know, keep the patients safe, because the nurse is already spread too thin and has already too many patients.
What's the ratio?
One to one case. So
yeah,
normally,
I was just going to ask you.
The max you max you should have is at 3, the max. I've gone as far as 4 and 5.
Hmm.
And they're like, well, it's okay because this one's relatively stable. Yeah, no. The last time that they tried to give me a patient, he was coming out of surgery and he was waking up and he was going nuts in the OR at this point.
Oh, wow.
He's coming in the recovery. He is going absolutely insane. They actually had to call down security to the OR room. And then he was transported up to the ICU. And actually, I had a lot of complicated patients that night. And I actually said, I cannot take this patient because I already have a number of complicated patients. And they were going to give that patient to me. But he came up with security and restraints. His gut was opened. And he was fighting like two. He was like superhuman. And
wow.
Yeah, so...
Like the little old lady.
Yeah, like the little old lady, the 90-year-old lady. Yeah, 73-year-old lady. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. But, he'd been put under anesthesia. You imagine, you know, he'd been given a number of sedative meds during the OR, and then a bunch of pain medication, too, and that's how he woke up. That's how he came out of recovery. They, you could hear the pages overhead. Like, we were shocked. Nobody ever, you never hear that kind of call overhead to go to the post-anesthesia care unit or the OR. They're usually knocked out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we just have a couple minutes left. And anything else you want to bring in? We just have 3 minutes left.
Then there's one other lady. She's young, 43, but the odds were stacked against her, too. I mean, she at 43, she already had chronic kidney disease, endocarditis, and coronary artery disease. She was vaxxed twice.
Oh my God.
Last one was back in April of 2021. She's now getting dialysis. She had a couple of kids. Two daughters.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was in my unit because she had now developed a clot, and she had to go for a bypass.
Time for another booster, right?
Mm.
God, they keep
shooting these people up. They're getting younger.
And yes, yeah. and so many stories that we run across of people who are one day finding themselves in grievous physical health. They're dying, and they don't. And they say one of their last statements is, "If I had only gotten that booster earlier, I'd be okay." Seriously, that's what we're hearing.
I'm trying to educate the patients and trying to make them think and see the connection between the two, and sometimes you reach, you get to them, and sometimes you don't.
Well, you're a wonder, and bless you for your work. And I know that patients care; they hear it in your voice, and you're making a huge difference. Even if it's in a micro setting, it doesn't matter. You're helping, and keep it up. I know you will.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
spectacular
Ann.
Job,
right.
Ann.
Yeah. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, you take care. Be safe.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Take care,
thank
Ann.
You.
Be safe.
Yes. All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, she's an angel of a nurse.
Mm.
Going into these, you heard the way she described how she had a patient and she researched it. She went to the chart and she was taught. It's too easy for most of them just to do what they're told and disengage.
Yeah, you know, not take any interest in them.
No, they're just pushing stuff around and installing this and administering that, and they don't care. I don't blame them. Look, I would imagine if I were in that job, I'd burn out in a week. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not knocking anybody here, but there are people who really shouldn't be in that business because of whatever. Maybe the shots have changed their personality. Maybe they're having serious emotional issues. I don't know. That's a very tough job. Can't imagine anything much worse. But boy,
no,
is she good.
We should be grateful for the people like Ian that are sticking it out for...
Oh, if they leave, it's all over.
Yeah.
You have they'll have euthanasia vans running up and down the streets is what they'll have if all the good ones that are left quit.
I know it. Yeah, it's true.
And the Chinese already have that, and believe me, that's a template we want to watch very carefully.
Mm.
They have not only that, but they have truck-mounted crematories. No, pretty soon. They're just
amazing. Yeah.
Put the trash out. It's Tuesday. Pile of body bags. That trash truck comes by.
Hearing rumors that yes, some of these crematoriums are backed up.
Well, in Europe, they're in real trouble because they can't get natural gas.
Oh, that's right.
They're trying to keep people warm and alive, and now the crematories are way backed up because they don't have the resources to operate them.
Fun, well, fun times.
When the globalists take something down, they don't mess around. It's all going down.
Sure is.
That doesn't mean you all have to. You all need to be careful. You all need to plan and just be informed. And stay with us. We'll never steer you wrong. We don't have all the answers, but we do our damnedest to try to come up with the most logical reality we can offer you. Great job, young lady,
okay,
as
Jeff.
Always.
Likewise.
Okay.
All right. See you Monday. Wednesday. Good night.
Okay. There she goes. We will be back in 2 days, and watching and monitoring all the time is Erica. Keeps me posted. We check in often with each other and make sure we know what's happening. Back in a few minutes. Hold on with hour 3 for you.